You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ in others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast. The following sermon was preached on the fourth Sunday in Lent, March 26, 2017, by the Reverend Lex Breckenridge, rector at St. Thomas.
I don't know if you remember last week, but the gospel reading was also a very long story from John, and I was sitting over here, and Zani was sitting next to me, and she leaned over and said, "Boy, that was really a long gospel reading, wasn't it?" And Steve Best got in the pulpit and said, "That was really a long gospel reading, wasn't it?" And our oldest son, who lives in New Orleans, had been to church that day, texted us later and said, "That was really a long gospel reading, wasn't it?" So I got a text from him, my son, who's, you know, 2 hours ahead of us, got a text from him just a minute ago, said, "Boy, that was another long gospel reading." When we invited everyone to be seated at 8 o'clock, you just hear this audible sigh of relief. Beautiful story, just a beautiful story. And you know, I'll confess to being a Pharisee myself. At least some of the time, actually maybe most of the time. I say I'm a Pharisee not because I'm a strict rule follower, because I'm really not. Not because I believe that strictly following a particular moral code makes me superior to anyone else. I really don't believe that at all. No, I'll say I'm often a Pharisee because from time to time I live with an illusion. The illusion that I am not blind. The illusion that I have it all figured out. The illusion that I see with perfect clarity. The illusion, that is to say, that I am right. Which also means, of course, that unless you agree with me, you are wrong. In this beautiful story, that was the Pharisees' problem. Their problem was their illusion that the man was born blind because of someone's sinfulness. Either his own sinfulness or his parents' sinfulness. Now that was a question for an interesting debate. Who's responsible for this man's disability? He must be blind because someone, either him or his parents, violated the law. Violated, that is to say, the moral code. And so they're offended when Jesus comes along, spits in the dirt and makes a mud pie, rubs it on the man's eyes, and miracle of miracles, the man can now see. I mean, how can this be? The man was clearly an unrepentant sinner, or his parents were. And Jesus, because he doesn't agree with us, is clearly a sinner too. So how can he do such a mighty act? Only the ones who agree with us can do the works of God, seems to be the Pharisees' position. Only the ones who subscribe to our particular moral code. And that, right there, is the source of their blindness. You see, in John's gospel, sin isn't defined by what a person does or doesn't do. No, sin is defined by one's relationship to Jesus. Right from the beginning, John makes clear that in Jesus, God has come into the world. You know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God has become a human being. And we're invited to shape our lives, to pattern our lives after Jesus's, to walk the way of Jesus, to live the truth of Jesus's life. You remember, we'll hear Jesus say later in John's gospel, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You want to know God? You want to follow God? Well, then follow Jesus. Know Jesus. Be like Jesus as far as you can. That's where salvation lies. And salvation, remember, is the Latin root word for salvation is salvus, which literally means health. So, do you want to live a life that's filled with spiritual and emotional health? Follow Jesus. Follow his life. And what defines Jesus' life? Healing, reconciliation, welcoming everyone to the table, letting go of the need to be powerful and the need to be in control of everything. Surrendering your own life to the will of God. Surrendering your life to something larger than the satisfaction of your own egoic desires, including, and here's the kicker for a lot of us, the egoic desire to be right, to be righteous, to be self-righteous at the expense of others. Now, letting that one go can be pretty rough for a lot of us, most especially me included. And it sure included the Pharisees. I mean, they couldn't tolerate that a man who didn't meet their definition of righteousness could do the work of God. And yet, there was the evidence right in front of them. The man who said of Jesus, "I don't know whether he's a sinner. One thing I do know, though, was that though I was blind, now I see." Is that a familiar line? Should be. Inspired a former slave ship captain named John Newton to write one of the most well-loved hymns we know. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." As John Newton began to read the Bible and came to know Jesus in his life, he came to realize his blindness and the inhuman misery that he participated in. His path on the way to Jesus led him to become an Anglican priest and to be a key ally of William Wilberforce, another faithful Anglican, in abolishing the slave trade in Great Britain. Grace came into his life, not because of any act on his part, but simply because he could see that Jesus was the way to life and to health, mind and spirit. John Newton had been blind. Now he could see. In a moment, you'll hear the choir singing a beautiful interpretation of Amazing Grace. So when they begin, just sink into the music. Let the music fill your soul with God's grace. Let your blindness be healed. As you listen to these beautiful words that they'll sing so movingly, feel what it's like to see, to really see, to see the beauty in the world, to see the beauty in other people, even people you don't agree with or who don't agree with you. See them for who they really are, God's beloved, just like you are. Because, you know, I'm not the only Pharisee in the room today. There are a whole bunch of you out there. We're all Pharisees from time to time. Blind Pharisees. Blind to God's love for the whole world and not just for us. Remember a few Sundays ago we heard Jesus say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that everyone who believes in him, everyone who trusts in him, everyone who trusts in him, everyone who patterns their lives on his life may have eternal life." God so loved the world, the whole world, everybody and everything in it, not just the ones that agree with you. So let Jesus come to you. Let him spit on the ground and make a mud pie and spread it on your eyes. I mean, don't you love how real and earthy that is? Let Jesus heal your blindness. Let Jesus heal your arrogance. Let Jesus heal your need to be right all the time. God, what a burden it is having to be right all the time. You know, it's like you ever seen those pictures of Atlas carrying the world on his shoulders? Look at those pictures sometime and see the look on his face. He's exhausted. That's what it's like having to be right all the time. It's just exhausting. You know why it's exhausting? Because it's impossible. You can't be right all the time. So let it go. You know, begin to see, let go of the illusion that you know everything or that people who don't agree with you are wrong. Just let it go. And the grace that flows from letting go of our need to be right all the time and just getting into right relationship with God and right relationship with other people, it's really amazing. That's amazing grace. We'll say our baptismal covenant in just a moment. And you'll be asked this question. Will you proclaim by word and example, the good news of God in Christ? The blind man was a beautiful example of the good news of God in Christ. Grace upon grace flowed through him. Grace upon grace. You know, I think the hinge point, the turning point in this story, isn't the healing of the blind man. No, it's when the blind man looks at Jesus and says, "Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I trust. Lord, I want to follow you." That's how he becomes an example for us. The grace, the amazing grace that flows from being a follower of the way, the truth, and the life. We're always being invited to follow. Every day when we wake up in the morning, the first words when you wake up tomorrow morning should be this: will I be a follower today? Will I follow Jesus today? And just for today, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Just ask yourself, will I be a follower today? And will I proclaim by my example, by the example of my life, the good news of God in Christ? Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.